The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I don't think for a moment that Christianity is the only way to God. Nor do I think Judaism is, or Islam, or any of the other religions. I think they're all human creations that lead millions of people beyond the boundaries of religion into the mystery of God. I'm a Christian. I walk the Christ path, but I don't believe God's a Christian.
That's an excerpt from our 2014 interview with John Shelby Spong, the voice of old liberal Protestantism. It's still around. Those voices are growing older and older and fewer, but it's still around. It's there largely in academia. It's there in a lot of church administrations and a lot of denominational administrations, holding on for at least, well, another decade or so. But what is taking its place? Could it be a new progressive Christianity? And if so, how is that different from the old liberal Protestantism? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Mark Tooley, president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, will be our guest a little bit. He's recently written about the limits of progressive Christianity and some reflections on old Protestant liberalism. A little bit later, Lyman Stone joins us. Well, we've heard a lot of things, a lot of terms used to describe the forced deportations and the detention of minor children and all the things that we are recently learning about U.S. policy on immigration. One of the terms that's been used is ethnic cleansing. Does it apply? We'll answer that question with Lyman Stone, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Aggressive Deportations Are Bad, But They're Not Ethnic Cleansing. In the meantime, we're going to talk old liberal Protestantism and new progressive Christianity. Mark Tooley is our guest, president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, author of the book Taking Back the United Methodist Church and a recent column for Juicy Ecumenism titled Limits of Progressive Christianity. Mark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always good to be with you.
Why should we not confuse old Protestant liberalism with progressive Christianity?
Well, they're very different, and in some ways, the new progressive Christianity is somewhat better and closer to orthodoxy, but obviously still falls short.
So tell us, what kind of typified old Protestant liberalism, and where do we still find it today if it's still in evidence?
Well, the old Protestant liberalism believed in a strict interpretation of the Enlightenment. It was focused on rationalism and science and reason, and tried to distill the Christian faith down to the through and to those categories. And it rejected the supernatural and essentially turned the biblical narrative and the Christian narrative into a metaphor that pointed towards ethics and morality and social justice.
And the new progressive Christianity, what are its origins and what makes it different from old Protestant liberalism?
Well, the old liberalism was modernist, being a product of the Enlightenment. The new progressive Christianity is very much postmodern, so it's not tied down by reason or rationality or a strict adherence to a particular understanding of science. It's very open to experiences and the supernatural, so that many progressive Christians actually can recite the Apostles' Creed and believe it. They believe in the virgin birth and the bodily resurrection, and they believe in an afterlife, and maybe even specifically in both heaven and a hell, and in the miracles that Jesus performed.
So to kind of put it simply, old Protestant liberalism took the scalpel of what it believed was a proper application of history, science, and other disciplines that grew out of the Enlightenment, good disciplines that grew out of the Enlightenment, and kind of did a Jeffersonian job on the Bible, cutting out things that didn't match with those naturalistic presuppositions. It sounds like progressive Christianity is more open to those ideas, but you said it's still a far cry from orthodoxy. Why so?
It is. It's so focused on experiences and so postmodern that it does succumb to identity politics and to a lot of self-empowerment and self-autonomy, and is fully on board with the LGBTQ agenda, and has a very, very low ecclesiology, so there's no sense of accountability to the church, historic or universal, because each person can essentially follow their own experiences.
Where do we find progressive Christianity? I mean, where would you point us to see examples of it on the ground?
Well, if you go into what's left of the liberal mainline Protestant denominations, if you're over 65, which means you're probably a retired clergy or retired seminary professor, you were probably an adherent of the old liberalism. If you're under the age of 50, clergy, or perhaps even a seminary professor in the mainline, you probably are a progressive Christian. But progressive Christianity can also be found in the liberal parts of evangelicalism.
You say it doesn't have a future, progressive Christianity. Make your case.
Well, I think it exists where the liberal Protestantism is dying, because the liberal Protestantism was so sterile and so incapable of making new converts that it reached a dead end and could not adapt to a new postmodern age. Progressive Christianity is adapting and is very much attuned to where our culture is now, but our culture is not going to be static. Culture is always moving and changing, and when our culture changes, I think that progressive Christianity in its current form will be left behind.
What will its message be if it's grown out of the social gospel and has embraced the social justice movement? What will the basic message of progressive Christianity be?
Well, that's the commonality between progressive Christianity and the old liberalism. They both adhere to a social gospel understanding of how to uplift society and essentially accept the premises of the secular left in terms of statism and believing that human sin can be perhaps almost eradicated through legislation and good intentions.
So it sounds like not much would change in terms of the message. Am I right?
I think in terms of where they come down politically, almost no distinctions, with the big exception that many progressive Christians are actually at least softly pro-life, whereas the old Protestantism tended to be a very hardline pro-abortion rights.
You have written and thought extensively about the United Methodist Church, which is a strange kind of case of schizophrenia, in my opinion. On paper, it is still very much within the pale of orthodoxy. In practice, it's a strange mix of both that old Protestant liberalism, and I'm wondering, also progressive Christianity at the same time?
Yes, United Methodism has all of the above and so much more. It has American evangelicalism, it has global Christianity, and all of these forces are at odds with each other within the denomination.
You actually have an example of progressive Christianity, I believe, from a campus pastor. I'm going to read this and ask you to respond, if you would. He says, "I do believe that Jesus was divine in the way that you and I are, and that he's the second person of the Trinity, Christians rightfully honor and celebrate Jesus as a unique and fully incarnate manifestation of God. I don't believe that he's literally God, at least not what most people tend to mean by that word. We live and move and have our being in God. So did Jesus. The Trinity is a beloved Christian poem of who God is to us. But poems don't literally define things like all art and theology. They point to what is beyond them. What's your response to that, and how would you take that apart for us in a critique of progressive Christianity?
Well, this campus minister is claiming to be a progressive Christian, but what you just quoted from sounds much more like the old liberalism, and I think he's more than he probably is aware is more in that camp. I noticed on his website he's about age 50, so he's kind of borderline between the generations. But I suppose that he's a progressive Christian in that he's postmodern and experiential and very focused on LGBTQ and identity politics.
I have interviewed John Shelby Spong, kind of the leading light of old liberal Protestantism. He was at least the poster boy for that. And yes. If you ask Bishop Spong, is Jesus God? He will tell you unequivocally, no.
Right.
Did these miracles occur? No. Did he exercise divine power? Of course not. But it does sound like, at least the example here from the campus pastor that you've cited in your piece, they'd be willing to affirm those things, but with a tremendous amount of equivocation or qualification. What's that about?
Well, he's not willing to affirm them literally. He seems to accept them only, I think he specifically uses the term poetry or poem. So it's metaphor, but a lot of the old liberal Protestants also accepted them as poetry and metaphor. I think Spong, being a very public polemicist, would go even further to deny them most explicitly and wasn't even fully comfortable describing them as poetry or metaphor. He preferred to be even more shocking.
What is the greatest challenge that Orthodoxy faces from progressive Christianity?
Well, the fact that it's so attuned to the spirit of our age is so experiential and self-focused and relies upon self-empowerment, self-autonomy, whereas Orthodoxy, of course, summons the individual out of himself or herself into the body of Christ, which is a form of surrender, and that's very much at odds with the spirit of the age.
You had mentioned that this has its appeal also outside of kind of mainline denominations, and where old liberal Protestantism is dying off and progressivism is taking its place, but it also has an appeal outside those denominations in generic Protestantism or non-denominationalism, what we might call loosely American evangelicalism. Talk about that, Mark.
Yes, it does have an appeal. The old liberalism did not. It was so sterile and denied everything of Orthodoxy, not even a temptation for evangelicals to succumb to that. But the new progressive Christianity, because it does affirm so much of Orthodoxy and seems so relevant, and that I think a lot of especially young evangelicals are drawn to it. Progressive Christianity seems less legalistic, less angry, friendlier to a new generation, and so there is that temptation there.
In the denomination that you have spent so much time thinking and writing about, the United Methodist Church, where do you see the progress of progressive Christianity headed in the near future?
Well, almost all of the liberals I meet in United Methodism today are classically progressive Christians. They believe in the creed. They're softly pro-life often, but they're full-throttle LGBTQ and for a left-wing social justice agenda. So when I was coming of age, the old liberals, like you may recall J. Philip Wogerman, the famous Methodist ethicist, seminary professor, who later became pastor to Bill and Hillary Clinton, was very much, although not as harsh in his rhetoric, was very much attuned and in sync with Bishop John Shelby Spong, whom he actually invited to speak at his Foundry Methodist Church back in the 1990s. But that perspective is almost entirely gone today.
Finally, before we let you go, Mark, The headline from Fox Today reads, quote, Jeff Sessions, Attorney General, could be expelled from Methodist Church over migrant policies. What is this story about, and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, the story is an exaggeration. There's no possibility of his being expelled, but a group of liberal clergy have signed a letter essentially filing a complaint against him for violating the church's official policies on immigration, and that complaint is not going to go anywhere under church law. But it's been a tremendously successful publicity stunt, and it illustrates where liberal Christianity is, whether old or new, that it very often prioritizes adherence to political stances over and above theological doctrine, and especially the church's teachings on personal morality and particularly sexuality.
Mark Tooley is president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy and author of the books Taking Back the United Methodist Church and a recent column for Juicy Ecumenism titled Limits of Progressive Christianity. You can find a link to it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Mark, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
On the other side of the break, Lyman Stone joins us. We're going to talk about U.S. immigration policy. Is it ethnic cleansing?
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.